I have 2 seconds. I have seconds from Avery and seconds from Wolf Ulrich. And so if anyone objects, please show your objection now. Seeing none, congratulations, Rudy, and thank you very much. You're now the vice chair. Appreciate it. As mentioned, I will be running any drafts and issues by the vice chair before posting them to the list, so I do really appreciate your help and point of view in that. Thank you. Next item, SCI membership and representation. I'd like to ask Julie to summarize where we are with respect to members. I think we do have primary members appointed for each of our constituency groups. I'm not sure where we are on alternates.
Thank you, Anne. This is Julie Hedlund. So we are, I'll just run down from the start of the list of members. For the registrar stakeholder group, we do have a primary member, that's Jennifer Standiford. We do not have an alternate member. Registry stakeholder group is Ken Stubbs and Ray Fassett, so we have full representation there. Business constituency is Angie Graves. Alternate member is TBD. ISP is Wolf Ulrich Knoben and Osvaldo Novoa. And so we have full representation there. Intellectual property constituency is Anne Aikman-Scalise and Laurie Schulman. Non-commercial stakeholder group is Avery Doria and Stefania Milan. So those two groups are fully represented, as is the non-commercial users constituency with Amr Elsader and David Cake. The nominee committee appointee, we have a TBD for the primary member and Thomas Richard for the alternate. And for the not-for-profit organizations constituency, we have Rudy Vonsnick for the primary member, and the alternate member is TBD. So just to summarize, we need alternate members from the registrar stakeholder group, the business constituency, and the not-for-profit organizations constituency. And we are missing a primary member for the nominating committee appointee.
Thank you. Does anyone here have anything to report with respect to your members regarding alternates or I think we're set on primary, but thank you. Go ahead, Rudy.
Rudy for the transcript. For NPOC, we are ending the elections for our constituency end of next week, and we will then be able to appoint the alternate member, and there will be no difficulty to get someone.
Great. Thank you, Rudy. And I guess we do not have any registrar or registry or NOMCOM participants in the room or on the phone today. Is that correct? So I may mention that. Later in terms of trying to get more full participation. I do appreciate that everyone in the community is quite busy right now primarily with IANA transition issues. So again, I do appreciate your time. So moving on to the next item. Oh. Yes, Avery.
Thanks. Avery speaking. The only point I'd like to make on that is it would strike me as difficult for us to make any decisions without the other house in the room at all. So I just wanted to point that out. And I'll certainly point that out at the meeting later, as well as you pointing that out. At this point, that would probably be the only thing at the moment that I would point out, is that I don't see how we can do much unless they start to participate.
Yeah, Avi, I think that's an excellent point. I'm very happy that you're willing to take up that topic with GNSO Council. And I may just mention sort of our membership situation, and then after I finish my short report, I would very much appreciate you would raise that topic. Thank you. Of course, I should note that since the SCI does work by full consensus, there would never be a situation where we would make a decision without including the folks who have not been active participants, because we would send out for consensus call. But it's, as Avery points out, really difficult to make sure we have a true consensus without that participation. So moving on to item number 5. This is our first task undertaken that was assigned by GNSO Council, and that is the issue of whether or not the 10-day waiver rule should apply to a resubmitted motion. We had a phone call on this a couple of weeks ago, and we took a straw poll in the room, and generally there was favorable response to this idea, and that council would be glad to have something done on this. And so, good morning, Lori. So Lori Shulman joins from IPC. So I think at this point, looking around the room, the only person I see who's was not on the call last time is David, I think. Is that correct, David? And can I get a comment from you regarding this topic generally? Any comments, questions? I think everyone else who's in the room had pretty much responded favorably to the notion of having the 10-day waiver rule apply to resubmitted motions.
I have no dissent from the consensus. I'm happy with that.
Okay, great. Thank you. So I think at this point, then, we can move on to consideration of some language associated with that. Julie had sent around to the list language that Mary had previously drafted, and I'd like to ask that that language be posted in the Adobe Connect room so that we can take a look at it.
Thank you, Anne. I'll take care of that.
Okay. And so the general principle that we're discussing here is if a motion is properly resubmitted under the resubmission of motion rule, which council approved last year on recommendation from SCI, shall we clarify within the operating procedures that that resubmitted motion can be the subject of a unanimous waiver to be considered by council if it meets all the other conditions for the 10-day waiver rule? Now, what that would mean is it still has to be submitted at least 24 hours before the council meeting. And it also has to be submitted with a request for consideration as to why there would be two elements in terms of explaining why you want the 10-day waiver rule to apply. The resubmitted motion rule requires an explanation as to why the resubmitted motion should be allowed to be considered. And the request for consideration is a request for consideration of the waiver of the time requirement. So if everyone could please take a minute to read the language that's in Adobe Connect. I think that's probably not the proposed change yet. I'm talking about the language that Mary drafted. Is that, that is it?
Excuse me, Anne, this is Julie Headland. So the language that's been proposed is the language that's in brackets. So if you look at that first paragraph, and then at the end of the paragraph, if you look at the paragraph, the end of the paragraph, the bracketed language, and then what's below is just for reference is the language out of the operating procedures of section 332 and section 433 further down.
Okay, great. Thank you, Julie. So the bracketed language is the change. And that language says, resubmitted motions made pursuant to Section 4.3.3 of these operating procedures after the submission deadline must meet these requirements in addition to those detailed in Section 4.3.3 in order to be eligible for consideration by the GNSO Council under this Section 3.3.2. So a comment was made on the list by Avery that although this is very legally precise language, it may not be all that readable or understandable. I think Avery was pointing out that she had to read it 3 or 4 times to actually understand what is being said. I'm not proposing that we would redraft this provision in this particular meeting, but I do tend to agree that we might be able to express this in slightly more readable terms. And I personally, I'll recognize Avery.
Thanks. Avery speaking this time, I remembered. I want to talk on the language thing, but I also, I'm being really very, very slow this morning. And so I'm trying to make sure I understand what we're doing. First of all, yeah, in terms of the language, I guess as soon as I got to words like pursuant to and then having to go look for things, it was all of a sudden I was in legal land and, okay, I'm used to going there even as a non-lawyer, but it makes it more difficult. So that's why I was thinking perhaps we have to find a more, you know, human way to explain things. But the other thing I wanted to come back to that I didn't get my hand up in time, and even though I said I have no objection to this, is I'm just wondering about the whole timing with the notion of these resubmitted motions and the explanation having been done by a certain time. Does the resubmission change that we're making change the time on which they have to have provided the proper, and that's partly where I started getting confused and going back and forth, because it says you have to meet these things. And the rules for it say you have to have met them by the proper time to submit a motion. But now we're saying the proper time to submit this motion may be that later deadline. And that's where I got myself sort of stuck in a loop, since the what it is pursuant to contains a condition that this clause does not modify. And that's why I kept going back and forth, basically not knowing whether we had actually solved the problem, even though before, and I think my comment during the last meeting had sort of been an indolent, gee, I don't know. And then I spent some time working on it and found out that I was rightly confused. And I put it down to my not being a lawyer and being somewhat slow at times, but it got me confused.
Great. Thank you, Avery. Let me see if I could, I want to restate to see if I completely understand your question. And it's something that occurred to me at the end of the last call in terms of how the explanation for a resubmitter motion, the interaction between, the interplay between that and the 10-day waiver rule, because the 10-day waiver rule, it only requires 24 hours notice in order to apply it. But with the resubmitted motion, my understanding is that there's still a 10-day advance requirement, so that explanation would come 10 days before the resubmitted motion. Is that correct, Mary?
Sorry, and I was trying to sort of pass through everything.
My question is, yeah. Without the 10-day waiver rule, in connection with resubmitted motion, the explanation as to why you're resubmitting a motion would require a 10-day advance explanation.
That's right, because the thinking, I think, at the time when we were talking about the resubmission procedure, the point was brought up that, you know, if a motion didn't make it, you could basically resubmit it at any time before the next council meeting. That could be 28 days before. But yes, the explanation itself would still have to come, and the explanation itself didn't have to come at the same time, but would have to fulfill the 10-day rule.
Right. And so I think...
one other thing.
Go ahead, Avery.
Is it a motion before that excuse, or I mean reason, has been done? In other words, do you have a full motion before you have actually submitted the reasons, or can they be one atomic unit? And that's where I started getting very confused, because if you have to do the explanation before it becomes a motion, or is the explanation part of a motion? And it's just...
Go ahead, Mary.
Aubrey, I think that's a great question. And I think the assumptions, it's not stated in what's now in the operating procedures that was voted on. The assumption is that it would be a motion once it's resubmitted, but it would not be a motion that would be eligible for voting on at the next meeting without the explanation. In other words, it would not be a fully formed motion. It would be a motion, but not an eligible motion. Does that make sense?
And if I could continue to debate this, does the resubmission rule only apply to well-formed motions, or does it apply also to partially formed motions? Ask me to think logically at 8 o'clock in the morning.
I would say that when I refer to fully formed motions, it basically means the motion would be crafted or have language, whatever it is. It's just something that the council would not be permitted, no matter how beautifully crafted or how perfect or how full the language of the motion is, the council would not be permitted to vote on it if there wasn't an explanation at some point.
Yeah. What I meant by well-formed was the logical expression well-formed, that something has to have all its pieces. I didn't mean that it was beautiful.
Okay, I'm going to recognize Rudy and then Stephanie. Hold on. Yeah, thanks, everyone. It's a good discussion. Rudy?
Rudy for the transcript. I understand that when a motion is resubmitted, there is the requirement that there is a full explanation why it is resubmitted. This is the point we are discussing on. And that's where I understand that there is a timing that is 10 days before the council meeting takes place. That means that the motion itself, the resubmission, should be done at least 11 days before the council. If we point to the text here. That's correct, because we have the 24 hours before, but you need 10 days before the council the full explanation. Is that correct, or am I
wrong? Well, Rudy, I think you're raising a point, if I may comment, that I was trying to hit on at the end of our last call, which is the interaction between these two time frames. I believe that what had been discussed previously was the notion that that explanation could come 24 hours in advance, that, and if you will, the 10-day waiver rule would trump the resubmission rule, and you would only have to give 10 days advance notice, and that's why I was asking about the language being clear on that point. But I think what's clear here is that we need more discussion on that point, as to whether folks believe that a 24-hour in-advance explanation of why you are resubmitting a motion is an adequate amount of time for providing that explanation for a resubmitted motion. Now, I may be raising something that is not an issue for anyone, but it is something that, you know, we do want to be absolutely clear on. So, and I would like to recognize Stephanie. She's had her hand up for a long time. Thank you.
Yes, Stephanie Perrin for the record, and I'm trying to log in, so I apologize for not being able to cursor back and forth and look at the preceding preamble. But I'd just like to more or less second what Avery was saying, that a little plain language would help here, because, I know there's a lot of stuff to go through, but there's a chunk on what a motion is. And a motion can be this, this, and this, and is comprised of the following parts, right? The motion and then the as Avery said, the excuse for it being late. And then there's the timing session, right? So the timing section, I think, speaks to what Rudy was just speaking about. If we just kind of almost bulleted that, it would be easier for my addled brain at this hour with only one cup of coffee. And I think probably would benefit us overall. So can we do that?
Go ahead, Mary.
I just wanted to point out that that's probably right. And this is one of the problems with this issue, that it starts to get complicated.
Yeah.
And when you look at the language, you kind of go, whoa. But I think for purposes of the record and for others who might be listening or reading this proceeding after we finish it, who may not be following, I think it's important to recall that the only language we're considering is the square bracketed part, on which is a single sentence. So if it is not that part, but on top of it, the way that is already laid out in Section 3 and Section 4 is complicated, then that's a bigger scope and task than this group has been asked to do. So I just wanted to make clear for the record that everything else but the square bracketed portion is already in the operating procedures.
That's a good point, Mary. And I'd like to ask a question in terms of that draft language. The question I have is specifically for Mary. So, and here's the question. As drafted, and I agree, you know, it's legally succinct, do you believe that the explanation for the resubmitted motion could be submitted as late as 24 hours prior to the council meeting, applying the language as drafted here, as proposed?
Yes.
Yes, okay, thank you. And so the substantive question that they feel that Avery and others are raising is it desirable that a waiver might be applied 24 hours before the meeting, as long as there's unanimous consent by the councillors? Because do keep in mind, and correct me if I'm wrong, Mary, that in applying the 10-day waiver rule, if any councillor objects to that waiver, then the motion will not be considered at that council meeting. Is that correct? So
yes.
The check and balance on this, as proposed, is that, yes, in fact, a motion could be resubmitted, the explanation could be resubmitted 24 hours in advance of a council meeting, but it would actually require unanimous consent by the councillors in order for that to occur. So, Stephanie, I'll recognize you on that point. Does anyone wish to comment on that? Yay or nay? Good idea, bad idea? Okay, I'll try to clarify the issue again, that if the 10-day waiver rule applies using language similar to that is proposed, but rewriting it for readability, then the explanation that accompanies and that is required to accompany a resubmitted motion would not have to come until 24 hours in advance of the council meeting. So right now, on a resubmitted motion, in order to comply with that rule, the explanation would have to come 10 days in advance of the council meeting. But applying the 10-day waiver rule, the explanation could come 24 hours in advance of the Janice Hill Council meeting, but keeping in mind that any councillor essentially has a veto power over that request for consideration, because it must be unanimous in order for the 10-day waiver rule to apply. So the question is whether that's acceptable, desirable, and if we get to the point of saying, I think we recommend one way or another. Either SCI says, no, you should never be able to resubmit a motion on 24 and provide your explanation on 24 hours advance notice, or we say, yes, it's acceptable to receive the explanation on 24 hours advance notice because there's a veto power. Any counselor can stop that. Amr, can you come in? Are you on the phone?
No. He's put some comments in the chat, and I don't know if you'd like us to summarize
it. He's not able to dial in, so yeah, go ahead, Mary. Can you help us with Amr's comments?
So I probably have to scroll up a little bit.
Actually, just on the technical side, first of all, let me mention that Amr is saying that the operator didn't answer when he tried to call in. If we could get some technical help with that. Thank you.
Amr and Avery were trying to sort of clarify the position or the points that were made a little bit earlier, but I think, and Amr, please type in the chat if I mischaracterize anything. I think his point right now is that the issue, as you pointed out, Anne, is quite straightforward, and the solution may well be as well. I think the solution he's proposing, or one solution, is a combination of the two approaches, but I don't know that there's been any more detail. Amr, if you have any further suggestion, please let us know.
Hopefully we can get Amr in, we could get a dial out to him, possibly. I think that, yes, the issue is straightforward as to timing, but I don't honestly understand what a combination would be, or how that would work, a combination of the two time frames. Anybody else? Rudy?
Rudy, for the transcript, I don't want to make it more complicated, but in practical terms, up to 24 hours before the meeting, giving explanation about the motion, is that reasonable? Is that doable? You still need the time to read the explanation as a counselor to be able to bring your vote, because you have to consult also your community. So 24 hours seems to me a quite difficult timing. I don't want to make it more complex, but I'm just thinking in practical terms.
Okay, thank you, Rudy. Avery?
Actually, it seems to me that there's really two possible solutions, and they both may be explanatory. One of them is to say that the explanation is indeed part of a motion and reword the other part where we've got the motion and say the motion has to be recrafted to include the explanation, and then the whole motion goes through as a single unit and it's operating by the same rule. The other thing is in the clause that we're adding about resubmission of motions to add "and its explanation." And so you're saying the motion and its explanation, or if we want to be explicit about it, to say the motion, but its explanation still has to come. So in other words, we have several ways of solving it, either by bundling the explanation in the motion of a resubmission, or in being explicit about whether the rule waiver includes the explanation or not. And then if we take, so we make a decision and then take Rudy's consideration into account, is 24 hours enough when you don't have 10 days? In other words, is that enough time for the explanation, even if it's enough time for the motion? If it isn't, then we put in a clause that says, that the motion can come just before, but the explanation can take longer, you know, has to be there 10 days before. And then people spend 10 days talking about whether it may or may not be resubmitted and so on. So you can imagine a scenario where someone at the last minute says, I really want to resubmit it, and I've got everything in line to resubmit it. They resubmit the... They give the explanation, but there's a couple people that aren't comfortable with it, so you spend time talking about it, and finally you've gotten to the point at day four where people say, yep, it makes sense. We agree to the resubmission, and then you put in the motion. So I could see going, the only thing is being explicit and getting rid of the word pursuant.
Excuse me. So, Avery, do you consider it likely that someone would resubmit a motion, I guess, that those two things would operate separately, that they'd both, they can't really resubmit a motion under 10 days without asking for application of the 10-day waiver rule, unless we apply some completely different rule, like 5 days, or, I mean, if they resubmit a motion and they follow the resubmission of motions rule, they'd come together, the explanation and the 10-day advance. Amr, go ahead.
Thanks, Anne. Can you hear me?
Absolutely. So come in and clarify all this for us, will you?
No, I don't think I'll be able to clarify it, but I'd like to give my perspective. When I said earlier a combination of both prerequisites in the chat, what I meant was the prerequisites, the individual prerequisites for submission of or resubmission of motions, which are, I believe, in Section 3.3.2 of the operating procedures, as well as the prerequisites for the 10-day waiver, the waiver to the 10-day rule, which is in the section further down in the operating procedures in 4.3.3. I guess the point I was trying to make is that if a resubmitted motion is being submitted past the 10-day deadline, then also satisfying the prerequisites of that should create no problem, because then you would need no objection from any counselor. And I would just like to remind folks that what we're trying to do here is to give the GNSO counsel the flexibility it needs to handle questions or projects that are put before it, and in trying to do that, make sure that the rules in the operating procedures aren't too difficult to adhere to. In my perspective, I guess I would think that a resubmitted motion that is being submitted past or resubmitted past the 10-day deadline would receive no objection from counselors, only if it had been previously discussed to the satisfaction of everyone on the GNSO Council. And so it would be there could be a situation where there wouldn't be any objection to the resubmitted motion being resubmitted past the 10-day deadline. So I'm thinking that the reason we're going through this whole project on the SCI is just to make sure that in the event that something like this does happen, that the GNSO Council is not caught up on a technicality and saying, oh, we'd like this resubmitted motion to be addressed in this council meeting, but we can't because there's a rule that prevents it. So I guess that's what I have to say on this. Thanks.
Thank you, Amr. So if I could restate that, your point of view is if we provide that 10-day waiver can apply in its entirety to a resubmitted motion, that just gives counsel a tool, it gives them flexibility, and that even if the explanation only comes 24 hours before the council meeting, the insurance against that being problematic is that any one counselor may essentially veto that consideration of the resubmitted motion. Is that correct?
Yeah, that is correct. And the any one counselor could veto the waiver to the 10-day rule.
So knowing that, Avery and others, Rudy, Wolforich hasn't weighed in, I don't think. What's the thinking on whether that 24 hours is sufficient for an explanation if it's subject to that veto power? Any one counselor can stop the motion from going forward. Go ahead, Avery.
Avery speaking again. Now, this is a motion that we've already voted down, right? We're resubmitting it because we voted against it. So there's obviously some work to be done in terms, and a resubmitted motion is an unchanged motion. So not only was it voted down, but it hasn't been changed since the last time it was voted down. So it's not really a matter of having fully discussed it, because we fully discussed it before we voted it down. So it's a matter of having convinced people that they were wrong to have voted it down. Now, waiving the 10-day rule actually makes less and less sense to me on that. And it seems like at this point, having thought about it for a while, I'm sort of moving from ambivalent to thinking that this is a bad idea. And that if you're going to resubmit a motion that's been voted down and you're not going to change that motion at all, then you had ought to do it at least 10 days beforehand and not try to slip it through at the last minute so that somebody has to veto it to stop it. So I actually think I've changed my vote after the consideration. Now that I understand what we're talking about.
Well, that's why we're here, to have a full discussion, and sometimes that's easier to have in the room than it is on the phone, isn't it? So I'll recognize Amr. Oh, excuse me, I'm sorry. Actually, David had raised his hand even before Amr did in the chat. So go ahead, David.
So to put that in the historical perspective, which sort of eventually led us down discussing the whole question of resubmission in this detail, in the one case where we had a resubmitted motion in the last few years, the argument by the person resubmitting it was that they didn't need to convince anyone else to change their opinion on the vote. They had merely voted themselves incorrectly due to misunderstanding of other rules. So if they don't intend to actually discuss the motion, really bring it to a vote again because they made a mistake, that might be a different case to the one you were talking about, where they don't intend to have another debate. They merely want to have another vote because they themselves feel that they did the wrong thing, which is
a curious
case, but let's hope it's not repeated.
I'll go ahead and make a comment on that, since it was an IPC vote, I think, and what we're talking about there was not that the person had voted wrongly, but that in the first vote, the person had understood that his vote was conflicted out and that he needed to recuse himself, but then after reviewing the rules, determined, in fact, that he was not conflicted out and was able to vote. So it wasn't, oh, I voted wrongly. It was that I wrongly did not vote. So he came back in and resubmitted because he realized that he was allowed to vote. And you know, I personally do have an appreciation, especially for ethical considerations like that, it is important to get things right in terms of conflicts of interest and whatnot. I'm not sure. I think that demonstrates the point that some explanations can be quite simple and other explanations could be very complex. So, again, Amr, I'll recognize you in the queue now.
Thanks, Anne. This is Amr. I think you and David said most of what I wanted to say, and to sort of just clarify the purpose of resubmission of motions and the previous project that the SCI had already gone through. And we did sort of approve the language, and eventually the GNSO Council did as well. So the purpose, that there is a purpose in resubmission of motions, and it's not necessarily to just change change a vote, but there could be circumstances where it may become necessary, and I think you and David did a pretty good job of summarizing the instance when it became came up historically, and so I'd also just to sort of try to address what Aubrey's last comment, any resubmission of motion, the reason why an explanation has to be attached to it is because the counselor requesting that a motion be resubmitted really does have to explain why this motion is being resubmitted. And the motion does not change. It's the same motion that was submitted before. If the motion is substantively changed, then it would be considered a new motion, not a resubmitted one. So if there is a valid reason in the explanation of why a motion needs to be resubmitted, and if this resubmission is done later than the 10-day rule, the 10-day deadline, then yeah, I think it might be helpful in the absence of any dissenting opinion from any counselors that a waiver to the 10-day rule would exist. That's just my personal perspective, and I'm willing to discuss this further now on list or on further calls. Thanks.
Thanks, Amr. So if I could summarize what I think you're saying, your point is that even a new motion with new information, new explanations can be subject to a 10-day waiver rule, then isn't it also just as logical for a resubmitted motion to be subject to the 10-day waiver rule, since that's not likely to involve any more substantive explanation than a brand new motion, and that the check on that is the veto power of any one counselor? Is that correct?
Yeah, I think that pretty much sums up what I'm trying to say. Thanks.
Mary, may I ask a question with respect, before we go on the discussion? The language as it exists, without any changes, what would be your legal opinion on whether or not, under the current language and the operating procedures, the 10-day waiver rule may be applied?
So I hesitate to say that this is my legal opinion, because all kinds of reasons, including probably not my function in this role. But I think that if one looks at the procedures as is, without the additional language, I would think that most people would probably think it's not clear whether or not it okay.
That's very good. Well, I guess that's our purpose here. So, and I think Aubrey wanted to comment. Go ahead, Aubrey.
Thank you, Aubrey again. So anyhow, first of all, going back to this waiver rule is kind of like for emergencies. It's for things that came up between meetings. It's for something came up and there wasn't time to do the 10 days. Now, anything that's already been voted down, there's no emergency. People know about it. People know about it in time. There's absolutely, even if it's just a clarification, but just a clarification to me seems a weak excuse, but okay. It's just a clarification, or it's, you know, often just a clarification is my arm got twisted after the meeting when all my friends jumped up and down on me and said, why did you vote that way? Oh, I didn't understand. In any case, it seems like there should be no reason why, if someone wants to resubmit a motion, they couldn't do it in time. There is no emergency here. There's the full span of meeting time between meetings for them to do their job properly, to re-clarify, re-explain, untwist arms, whatever it takes to resubmit it. So I actually, the more we talk about it, the less and less purpose I see for this. So not only am I against it, but I now no longer see a reason for it.
Okay, thank you, Avery. So I gather then that you would be in favor of clarifying language that states, and I guess this would appear in the, I'm not sure exactly where, the states resubmission of a motion may not be considered pursuant to the 10-day waiver rule. That's, oh, she's giving me a thumbs up that that's what she would want to happen. So, wow, we have an actual substantive disagreement here. And I think Amr's been the champion of the waiver should apply. Avri is the new champion of waiver should not apply.
If I can add, once I was told that it was straightforward, I realized that there was going to be a problem.
Okay, thank you. So, SCI works on full consensus. And so what we need to do is, you know, consider what is our way forward to full consensus when we have opposing viewpoints. And at one point, someone suggested a sort of a combination of the two rules. I'm not sure who that was or what the suggested combination was. Avri, is your hand up? Or
no, it's not.
Okay. Okay, thank you. I don't know, would folks be, you know, interested in any sort of separate waiver rule for a resubmitted motion? Call it 5 days, call it a compromise. Any reason to work on any kind of a combination with respect to when an explanation is due? Avri.
And one more point. There's really a trivial way around this for anyone, is they change a word in the motion and it's a new motion.
Well, I'm not sure that's, in terms of the definition of a resubmitted motion, I don't necessarily think that changing a word would do it. My understanding is that that change would have to be, you know, somewhat material in order for it to be. So go ahead, Rudy.
Rudy, for the transcript, just a question to see if this happened already in the past, how did we handle this? So that at least there is an understanding, for me, an understanding of how did we do in the past?
This is Avri again. I don't believe we had a case where we had a reconsideration when we, not reconsideration, that's a different group, but a resubmission when we had the 10-day waiver rule in effect. So we haven't had an instance before.
Right. I think, this is Anne again, that's correct, because the resubmission of a motion rule is quite recent. It's something that was passed last year, I think, in 2014. So it's more of a theoretical question, but when council acted on these rules, it became clear that a clarification needed to be adopted as to whether or not the 10-day waiver rule could apply to a resubmitted motion, because as Mary pointed out earlier, you know, it just isn't clear in the rules. So that's why they asked SCI to address this. I think what I'd like to propose at this point in time is perhaps a formation of a sub-team that would include Avri and Amr, who are, you know, opposed to each other in terms of our approach here. I'll volunteer myself to participate in those calls for further discussion. Lori, would you like to volunteer? Abs, Mike. Oh, your mic is not live, Lori.
No, I think it's an interesting point, and I'm kind of amazed and grateful that it's popped out this way. So I'd be happy to try to help mediate if we can get to a place that might work. I've done it before in other issues. Let's see if I can do it here.
Wonderful.
Not that as means the mediator, but to be part of a discussion where maybe we find common ground. We have to fundamentally agree about certain things. If we don't, then we're cooked. But if there is some fundamental agreement at a baseline, then that's where we can start from.
Fantastic, Lori. I really appreciate that. And I will step off, given that, you know, if you're going to volunteer to be involved, then that would be great for Lori and Avri and Amr to work on the issue. Mary?
Thanks, Lori. Thanks. And great to have volunteers. I think from the staff perspective, we wanted to get a clarification of what the subteam would do, because it seemed to us that we don't have an SCI position or agreement on which to craft language at all. So it might be helpful to figure out what the SCI thinks the position should be.
Well, no, the subteam is not, I mean, and maybe this isn't permissible, but I would see the subteam as tasked not with language, but with fleshing out issues in the disagreement between the position that the 10-day waiver should apply and the position that it should not apply, and perhaps come to what we've all come to know as a third alternative, that when you're working out between two positions, and no matter how hard-line they are, sometimes through further discussion, you can reach, new ideas, new paradigms, new thoughts, creative thoughts to address a situation that would satisfy everyone. So the subteam would be tasked more with a further discussion of the question. Maybe they would informally receive some feedback from counselors on this point, and that would figure into their deliberations, and they could bring that back to the SCI, particularly the fact that, you know, we're here at the meeting, at least two out of three on the subteam could speak informally with council members and get some further thoughts, and then set up a call after Buenos Aires. Does that make sense?
I note that Amr and Avery have their hands up. I don't know if those are new or old.
Sure. Amr, go ahead.
Thanks, Anne. This is Amr. Thank you, Mary, for making that point. That's kind of the issue I wanted to also touch upon. But I would go a little further and say that I would personally prefer that this discussion not be moved to a subteam at this time, not until, in principle, the SCI agrees to the notion of a 10-day rule waiver being applicable to a resubmitted motion. If the SCI can agree on that broadly in principle, then maybe a subteam can be formed later to sort of flesh out the details. But until we have agreement on the SCI to this point, I think it would be more helpful that this discussion continue with the full committee rather than on a subteam. But that's just my opinion. Thanks.
So, Amr, just for clarification, do you mean it shouldn't move to subteam until the full SCI agrees on the waiver, even as to the 24-hour aspect of that? Because we may be at a standoff if you take that position.
No, and this is Amr again. I think just in principle, if we have agreement on the committee that a waiver should or could apply to recent motions in principle, which I don't believe we have right now. I don't believe we have this agreement right now. But until we do, I think this discussion should continue with the full SCI rather than on a subteam. Once there is some agreement on any form of waiver to the 10-day rule being applicable to resubmitted motions, then maybe it could be moved to a subteam and the details could be fleshed out further. But until that is achieved, I think a discussion involving the full membership of the committee would be more helpful. Thanks.
Avery.
Thank you. Avery speaking. A couple things. First of all, I was a little nervous at having been voluntold for this subcommittee, but was willing to go along with it. But I was going to go into it with the notion that what I'm coming... We have to give an answer, yes or no, to the council. We ask them to ask us this question, or they ask us this question, so we need to come back with an answer. Now, my proposal is that we have to put in a phrase saying specifically, this rule is not applicable to resubmitted motions, period. And that's... So my... I don't know that we have motions in SCI, but my proposal is that that be the language. I'm sure that Amr has language that is the opposite of that. So we could go back and forth in our little subcommittee. And there's a part of me that loves the irony of two NCSG people, okay, one's NCUC and one's NCSG, arguing this with an ex NCSG member as our mediator. There's a beautiful poetry in that I truly love. So that part of this little committee struck me as a thing of beauty. But beyond that, you know, Amr does make a good point in that he and I are going into this at this point with, one of us is going in with, yes, here's the change, and one of us is going into this with, no. Now, perhaps we can go back and forth, and I can convince him that it's a really bad idea, or he can convince me that it's a really good idea, but I wouldn't bet on it. And I don't know what a compromise to that would be. There is no maybe position in here. And one more thing, the idea that we would craft yet another thing that's not the 24 hours, but the 4-day or the 6-day, strikes me as getting even more complicated in rules that every time we touch them get more complicated. And I'm really worried about the legal complications we're getting into with rules and intricate sub-rules and clauses and such. So I'll do whatever I'm voluntold to do, but, you know.
That'll be the day.
I didn't say I would do it the way people wanted me to.
Well, you know, one of the beautiful things about SCI is that we do work on full consensus. And so I don't want to put Avi on the spot and say, hey, Avi, are you saying that there are no circumstances under which you would even consider a waiver for a resubmitted rule, you know, depending on the facts? But in a way, that's kind of where we are in terms of the standoff, unless folks are willing to explore, are there any conditions under which one might consider applying a waiver to a resubmitted motion? And again, because SCI works based on full consensus, I would like for us to try to find a way to explore that possibility rather than remaining in a standoff. So, Laurie, go ahead, please. I'm sorry it's taken me so long to recognize you.
That's okay. I was just simply, in terms of the subgroup, what my thinking was, if you know, to have this reversal now in respect to Avery, as you know, in her position as a counselor and just being Avery, that it seemed maybe to make sense, in my view, to have a smaller discussion about this to meet it out in a way that, you know, if there's a standoff, I mean, there's either an A or B outcome, as Avery says, to a smaller group talking. But I agree, this group is small enough already that the need for an even smaller group to sub out at this point may not make sense. But that being said, I was simply offering as a point of intellectual interest to help mediate, and that's all I'm saying. I tend to agree that in this particular group, because we do operate on full consensus, even if you had this subgroup discussion and a subgroup outcome, it would still have to be discussed among the group. So.
Okay, so I think there's actually no harm in continuing the full discussion in our next call and trying to determine in the next call whether or not a subgroup is appropriate. I don't want to rush, you know, appointment of a subgroup if there's substantial sentiment against doing that. And I think at this point in time, it's going to be most appropriate for us to discuss the topic on our next call after the Buenos Aires meeting. I certainly would encourage everyone, and I'm getting an agree at least from Amr on that point. I would encourage everyone to seek some informal input from your GNSO counselors prior to the next call, and if we can try to think creatively about this, certainly is a beautiful thing to me that SCI works on full consensus. And I do think if there's creative tension, that's good. There's going to be, I anticipate based on our work in the past, that I'm quite confident that we will be able to address this this topic thoroughly and with a good, solid recommendation. So I thank everyone for their attendance.
If there's any other business, could you please raise it at this point? Lori?
I don't know if it falls under any other business, but I just wanted to respond to something Avery said. And her point about keeping language accessible, very well taken. As a lawyer, completely understand that. But at the same time, because we're in a committee that looks at procedure, I don't know how we get away from being legalistic. And it's just an idea I want to throw out there. I mean, I believe in accessible language, but if there's a lot of procedures in play, then there's going to most likely be legalistic responses, even if they're not written in a legal way.
Thanks, Lori. My comment on that is that I think that when we refer to specific rules, we can use plain language to describe those rules at the same time that we describe those section numbers, rather than, you know, requiring a lot of cross-referencing between section numbers and what Avery calls the pursuant to. I think that we can do a translation exercise that refers in plain language to what that rule is about, and that will be very helpful. So if there are no other comments at this point in time, we'll adjourn the meeting and wish everyone a terrific meeting here at Buenos Aires. Please do make certain that you speak with your constituencies and informally with your council representatives regarding this resubmission of a motion rule. And thank you. Bye-bye.